Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
We meet the man on the moon. We're talking to Ghost, and something is up with Leonard. We've got so much to talk about, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What is up, guys? We are here for episodes 3 and 4 of the Umbrella Academy season 1. Obviously, this is not Tayron and Evan. We are your other half of the panel. What is up, guys? My name is Drew, and to my right is
Jim Alexander.
What is up?
What's going on? So the half of the team debuted last week. We're the other half. We might have us together next week.
Yeah, just like the Umbrella Academy, we're not all together yet, but eventually we will all come together.
That's a nice segue, right?
To defeat the big bad. Yeah. What are your I know you aren't the biggest fan so far.
So I will start from the start. I'm not the biggest fan right now. Now, I'm giving it a chance still because I'm only 4 episodes in, so I'm actually going the way we're going right now. I'm just getting lost in the storylines. I know we're going to break down 3 and 4 tonight, and we're going to go over some of this stuff. But right now, it's moving at a really slow pace through 4 episodes. And I'm just trying to get a footing of who I should follow, how much importance each individual has so far, and putting it together. So I'm lost in a lot of ways. So help me find a way, everyone.
I feel you. I watched the series as a whole because I was in New York last weekend, which is why I wasn't here. And, you know, I was in the hotel and I was bored. So
You went straight through?
It's good. I love this show. But I will say that episodes 1 through 3 were very, like, foundation. They're setting up. You know, we're getting to know everybody. And then 4 is really, I felt like, when it started picking up.
I agree. 4 was a little bit more. I was starting to put things together more so. It started feeling a little bit more, I guess, to a pace where I can follow at that point. The first 3 is just super slow for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, like, used to watching, like, things kind of becoming quick and you know, getting – like, I do the Roswell after show, and stuff there just happens a mile a minute constantly from the pilot. It's almost too much.
Especially when it's, like, supernatural or superhero type of
– Yeah, you kind of expect more, like, the setup of that. But this show takes its time. So for you, it worked. What are some things right now that you're really loving about the show 4 episodes in?
4 episodes in, I love the individuality of all of the Umbrella Academy. I love that we're seeing – because I know we talked about this a little bit before the show. I love that they're not being bunched together right now, that everyone's stories are very crazy and off the wall and doing different things, because I love – as a viewer, I love getting to know everyone. But as someone who, you know, is very passionate about TV and whatnot, I love that idea that they're going to be scattered, and hopefully as the season goes on, you know – they'll come together and their stories will come together kind of like they're supposed to be doing in the team. But what about you?
For me, I guess it's been hard to find something I like. They're all different, so I'll give that. They all are very different, offer different personalities, different skills in a lot of ways, and different ways to communicate. So I'm kind of enjoying the fact that they're all not similar and cookie cutter in a lot of ways, because they could have been kind of bunched up, like – you know, we're all here for the same reason. We're all living under the same house umbrella. but I do like the fact that they're all very different. So I'm just trying to see how they're going to come together at this point. And because they're not working together, you know, they're picking sides. And I think towards the end of – we saw that divide really of side picking in episode 3. Yeah. You know, when they're trying to decide what to do about Mom. And then – you know, kind of you see like the groups kind of who's friends with who, and 5 just seems on its own island, right?
Yeah. Let's jump into episode 3 and kind of, because you did kind of talk about like we have to figure out what's going on with Mom, because Mom is a little sus right now. It's looking like Mom killed Dero Dad.
It does on the VHS tape.
Yeah. You know? There's very suspicious footage showing Mom, aka Grace, possibly just letting Dad die. He's kind of choking there, and she's just standing there. And Luther and Allison are on team Mom's Gotta Go. Mm-hmm. And then we have, you know, the resident mom of the boy, Diego, who's like, no, let me talk to her. Everything's fine. Klaus is kind of just
divided, and they can't come to a vote because Five's not there initially.
Exactly. And Vanya actually agrees as well. And we also, in this episode, before we get on to Vanya, but what did you think of the debate of what they should do with Mom?
I like that part because the good thing about it was that there's no clear choice. Now, there's actually a story there.
Yeah.
Because who's going to be that deciding factor? We didn't know what Five was going to do at that point, and you have a split. And they both have a side and a potential, you know, reason for thinking the way they do.
Yeah.
And we kind of see the divide also of who favors Dad, who favors Mom. So you see that kind of family angle and aspect to it. It was the most kind of family moment so far watching in episode 3 where I got the sense where like, okay, this is kind of a family squabble and it's a big issue here. But you see the favoritism, who kind of
for sure
feels for what.
The first question that popped up in my head with the whole Mom debacle was Mom was programmed to be a protector. If she's not protecting anymore, my first thought was, who programmed her not to protect anymore?
Ah, that's an interesting aspect,
you
right?
You know, like, because she's a robot. So who who did that? Because it's not just like a...
So you're thinking someone altered Mom's programming, yeah, in a sense, and changed it since it was initially input.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it seems like she's supposed to be artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. So we've seen in movies and films and stuff where artificial intelligence starts to kind of think on their own. But I don't get that vibe from Grace herself. I feel like she's still pretty programmed.
Yeah.
And so that was my first thing. And I was kind of like waiting for someone to be like, who did it? Instead of, you know, focusing it on Mom. But we do... but obviously, they do end up, after this big fight with Cha-Cha and Hazel, they do end up... well, Diego ends up deprogramming her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... I actually thought that was a really sad
moment. Yeah, because he felt, like, the most connected to her. Even beforehand, when he went to her and kind of almost tried to talk her out of certain things, when we had that initial moment, that's... I felt that character, Diego, was the closest to her of all of them. So to see that, that was a twist in a sense.
Yeah, because as of right now, Diego isn't one of my favorites.
Just he's kind of, yeah.
He's very like, he's very much like kind of a jerk. I think him and Luther are kind of jerks and have like power
in
trips.
Different ways, though.
In different ways, for sure. But they both have their, it's very much like, you know, who can puff their chest the most. And like physically, it's Luther. Luther can obviously.
Clearly.
He is huge. But Diego kind of has this, he gives me like little man syndrome.
Ah, that's an interesting perspective because he's trying to be the big dog. Like Luther's a big dog literally in physicality and the way he kind of looks over
and
everyone.
And he's number one.
Yeah, he's number one. And Diego seems to be that younger brother or you know, that's trying to like live up to the, you know, older brother's respect in a sense or try to overtake him to show that he can't be forgotten. Like I feel like Diego's the one that's like everyone forgets about it, and he's just like, hey, I'm here, you know, and I have all the power and my word is just as important as anyone else's.
Yeah, he definitely, between 3 and 4, with him also losing Patch, I feel like he's gone through like a huge loss in these two episodes, and I definitely think we're going to see that change how he moves because he's already kind of a sporadic, like doesn't, you know, act now, think later type.
Right.
I am looking forward to seeing how these two major deaths change him, whether that makes him more sporadic or if it makes him kind of
could go both
back.
Ways.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could go two ways right now, the point we're in.
Yeah. Let's get into – well, before we get into another one of the lovely members of the Umbrella Academy, do you have anything you want to say to our viewers?
I do. Guys, we appreciate you guys supporting us and making us the ESPN of TV talk. But in order for us to continue talking about Umbrella Academy and all these other shows, we do need your help. And it's as easy as subscribing to our channel. So if you're watching Umbrella Academy on YouTube, subscribe. please comment. We love interacting. We want to hear your thoughts, especially someone like me. Maybe you can change my mind about this show and make me realize what I'm not seeing or I'm not understanding. So definitely comment. We love interacting. We love reading it. And if you are on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and definitely comment also. So all your support really helps and goes a long way. And I know it's a big part of why we're here, right?
That is very true. We really do appreciate rocking with you guys, whether you watch this show, whether you love it like me, or you don't love it quite yet like Jim. We want to know what you think. So somebody who's not being super loved mm-hmm. is our girl Vanya.
Yeah, she's like the outsider. She's on her own island.
She's going through it. She writes, we kind of find out a little bit more why she's on the outs. It's because she has this book that she wrote that's a tell-all of her siblings and her dad. And she really kind of puts everybody on blast. And in the beginning of episode 3, we see how it's this huge thing. And then slowly but surely,
it goes on sale.
It goes on sales, yeah. And like nobody cares. Do you have siblings?
I do.
Okay. So if one of your siblings were to tell all about your family, how do you think you would react?
Depends the context of it. Because like she's been kind of on the outside mm-hmm. from the beginning. She hasn't been accepted or welcomed. So in her defense and point of view, I can understand why she would do that. Why she would – it's her way of expressing her maybe hurt and pain and not holding it all in. I just feel like it's probably her way of venting it. And in her defense, that was probably the outlet she wanted to do it in. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to bash her for that because I think there's a lot of reason why she needed to get it off the chest. And – yeah, she threw some people under a bus, I'm sure, in the process and ruffled a few feathers. But she didn't do anything criminal to them, you know, or yeah. didn't do anything that's irreversible.
Yeah, we kind of see throughout the episodes how all of her siblings interact with her. Obviously, Diego, there's a lot of animosity mm-hmm. there. Luther is still doing the very, like, political.
He's so political.
He's so politically correct no matter what. Allison, I kind of feel like there's a little bit of connection there with Allison.
A little bit.
Like, she kind of...
Maybe it's a girl thing, you know?
Like that's very true, because yeah, I feel like sisters act... I am different with my sister than I am with my brothers. Mm-hmm. There's a deeper connection there. So, definitely that. And then Klaus is obviously... Klaus is just Klaus, you know?
You know, at this point, like, when we're talking about characters, Klaus... For me, Klaus... Is it Klaus? Mm-hmm. I think it's Klaus. For me, he's just... What does he provide? Besides, like, comedic relief, his, like, one-liners or, like, the stupid things he does. But for me, he's just so worthless as, like, the most worthless member of this family. Because what does he do besides get himself in trouble, say stupid things, do stupid things? He's such a lost individual in soul. But I guess he's not hurtful in any way.
Well, let's talk about Klaus. Yeah. Because I feel like episode 4 was a really big episode for him because he gets abducted by Hazel and Cha-Cha. Mm-hmm. And we kind of see his power go into use a little bit more. And we see why he is the way he is. I mean, I feel like if I saw ghosts constantly.
Yeah, I mean, you see him in those dreams and stuff. Like, he's got visions constantly. Yeah,
they're kind
of
creepy.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't blame him for how he acted. Obviously, we see some of how Dad treated Klaus and his ability. True. So I get it, and we see him kind of go through withdrawals, and he starts seeing all these ghosts, and
he's a damaged soul in a lot of ways, don't you think? Like, yeah. Throughout, that's never had an opportunity to maybe have his demons exercised in a lot of ways or, like, let it out. Like, yeah. We talk about Vanya, who did it in a book. Maybe he needed to write a book about something, too, to get some of this stuff out.
Yeah. I mean, we see him kind of utilize his power in episode 4 because, obviously, he uses all of the ghosts that he's seeing of Cha-Cha and Hazel's, you know, previous conquest, and he uses that to his benefit somewhat, ends up being able to smuggle away, and he has the suitcase with him, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the most featured, I think, in episode 4, like, we've seen of him, besides the episodes of, like, him doing something silly or ridiculous. You know, that was the most kind of the time you could connect to him the most mm-hmm. of any episode or see a different side of him. I agreed with
that. Yeah, I like that in episodes 3 and 4, we kind of saw – we're getting more of, like, the meat and potatoes of who these people are. And it's to the point now where you're really starting to care about the characters and, like, you know, want to see them. For instance, with Allison, we kind of get a little bit more of the downside of her power. Because I'm not going to lie, out of all of the, like, superhero powers, hers was the one that I was like, that's the most useful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the rumor, you know, she clearly makes a career for herself out of it. She's, like, she's the most well-known, you know, she's lived this dream, but we see, obviously, it's not completely a dream.
Because, right, in the first episode, she gets introduced on a red carpet, you know, yeah. Right? So it's, like, she's, like, the focus in a lot of ways.
There. Yeah, but clearly we see that, you know, it's not all cracked up to be because we find mm-hmm. out that she lost her custody to her daughter because that's she right. was using the power on her daughter.
That was a big reveal, I felt, in that moment. And it really humanized her to me in a lot of ways because you see this person is, like, kind of the star in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But then when you hear that and how it's impacted her and affected her, you really see that it's almost like comparing a celebrity, you know, who we think has a glamorous life and everything's great for them and, like, you kind of wish you were them. But then when you see her open up and say that, it's like, whoa, we see a totally different side that we didn't imagine and didn't know of, and that really humanized her in a lot of ways and especially made me at least, like, find more interest in her character.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have any kids. Do you have any kids?
No, I do not.
Okay, maybe this just proves I'm not ready for kids. But I was like, but
you don't have any powers, right, or either.
But when she was like, but when she said what she did, I was like, is it that bad though? Because I feel like any parent would, if they had the ability to make their kid go to bed,
mm-hmm.
they would use it.
Yeah, moments of frustration or something, like, that's not the worst thing she did.
I was like, I don't know. I didn't feel like it was abuse, but again, I don't have kids, so.
True. We don't know actually what it's like.
I have a cat. If I could tell my cat what to do.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, okay. That would be awesome, but obviously that is not the way that the world works.
No.
We find out some interesting stuff about Luther, too, during the fight with Cha-Cha and Hazel in episode 3. His shirt gets ripped off, mm-hmm. and it's revealed that he has, like, an ape body? Like,
yeah. I wondered this from the beginning. Honestly, like, that was my number. Like, what is – this is so abnormal, his look, besides the coat, you know, because he always has that on, and you just don't know him. For a second, I thought it was, like, the actual actor, like, that ripped or, like, built in a lot of ways. But I'm like, no. It kind of reminded me, like, Beast of X-Men. You know, like,
definitely.
I had that thought. Like, he's kind of like the Beast of X-Men in a lot of ways. That's a parallel there. But, yeah, that was fine. I wanted to see, like, a reveal. What's behind it? That was, like, my biggest mystery coming in through these episodes. I'm like, I need to see this. Every time I see Luther on screen, I'm like, I'm wondering if this is, like, what's underneath that coat in a sense. Is, like, is he genetically altered? Is he, like, What is there?
Because one and two, because I want to say it was episodes 1 or 2, or maybe it was in 3. He gets cut, and you see hair come out of, like, the little in his sleeve. And I was like, oh, what's going on there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I need to get you Gillette? Like, what's good?
But then shaving cream.
But then it comes out, he has this whole blue, hairy vibe going on.
Right? That's, I guess, the best way to describe it.
And I kind of felt bad for him because, like, you know, clearly him and Allison have something going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's some tension there.
I agree. Yeah. And you see them most, and they're the ones that were looking over those VHS tapes. And, you know, he came to her first about it. They were the ones that initially went over that. But, yeah, there's definitely something there between them more so than the others.
Yeah. He clearly looks super embarrassed when it's revealed. And I felt bad for him in that moment because I feel like he's such the I have it all together, I'm, you know, the favorite, blah, blah, blah. And to see the vulnerability that he had there was interesting because I think we've seen mostly, like, strength and poise for him.
He plays that part of, like, the leader, the unsung leader that everyone kind of looks up to and follows, basically. And he can disappoint them all. And that's the sort of feeling I've gotten from the beginning, how he's so politically correct.
Yeah.
And that, you know, he almost feels that they need him, you know, in a lot of ways. And he's there to act like dad in a lot of ways, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of the dad now of the entire group.
Which is interesting because we find out in episode 4 that the reason he has his body is because he went on a mission, a solo mission, and gets really hurt, and dad injects him with essentially the same, it looks like the same stuff that he injected Pogo with.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's part gorilla, or ape or...
I can understand it now.
Yeah, you know? It's just like...
Because his head was so small, too. The body was so big. I always kind of find that interesting how his head was so small, unproportional to his body size.
I mean, I feel like we're really seeing how abusive this dad was.
Yeah, I think we're finding out, at least through the four episodes, that... There's not that many great things about
there's very little redeeming qualities about this man. And we're seeing – I think it's very interesting to see different types of abuse and how abuse affects people by each character. Because each character kind of represents a different, you know.
Yeah, they're damaged in a different way. When you look at Vanya versus Klaus, you know, completely two different cases. But you know they're both harboring and holding something in. And just their ways of projecting it or you know – the ways they go about it is different, but there's something they all have in common. It's this like secret or embarrassment. It's a combination of things that they have on the inside that they're slowly trying to let out, and they don't know how to in a lot of ways too.
Yeah. So we've talked about Klaus. We've talked about Luther, Allison, Vanya. We obviously have
Diego
to,
a little
Diego,
bit.
Diego
yeah.
a little bit. We obviously have to talk about sweet, sweet five.
Yeah.
I say sweet very... jokingly.
Yeah, not very sweet. This is the confused part I am.
Okay.
How the time travel and the age, I know there's like the 8 years. I'm lost. He's older than them, right?
Okay.
Can you set this straight for me? Because I'm lost when it comes to all that.
So he travels in time and he gets stuck. And the time that he gets stuck, he's still aging.
So he
goes into the future and gets stuck and ages up to, I want to say he's supposed to be, what, like 58 or something?
Yeah,
like
he's definitely the oldest of them.
Yeah, he's significantly older because they're all about 30 at this point. Mm-hmm. So then when he traveled, I don't want to give anything away, but when he has to come back, when he travels back to where we see him now, for whatever reason, because he doesn't have this whole time travel thing down to a science, he gets pushed back into his... like 12-year-old body, but he still has his very cynical 58-year-old mind.
Right, so it's like trapped in a, it's like a switch that whatever that those movies that you know you basically
like Freaky Friday.
Yeah, Freaky Friday. That's what I'm
gonna, which if I woke up in my 12-year-old body, like please go ahead and just like run me over with a car.
Oh, no,
like I just nobody wants to go through puberty.
That must be a weird thing for Five to deal with, you know, like having this body of a kid and yet the mind of like a wise older person.
Yeah,
and he's always taking the lead and charge in every situation.
And then to have he disappeared obviously at this age, so. It's one of those, like, in his sibling's mind, he's still that age because they didn't grow up with him. And
right.
so they're still very used to him. And the fact that he's also physically that age, I imagine, is
kind it's hard of, to imagine him anything else because you see him, what you remember him for, and then you see him in front of you and, like, the whole fact to connect that he's actually so much older and wiser and more mature must be hard. I can't imagine them, like, taking it seriously at times.
We kind of get he kind of alludes to, like, he says something about killing untold, like, he doesn't say, but killing, like, a mass amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of get hints of a little bit more of, like, what Five has been up to.
He's been up to a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, for that whole time.
But, because we don't really know, at this point at least, we don't really know what he's been up to since he peaced out and went into the future.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm like I know what happens because I watched it, but like, do you have any?
No, I mean the whole apocalypse thought, and like we saw, I think it was episode 2, like when he sees the dead bodies in the rubble and that you know apocalyptic world. Like he's seen things, and things have happened that no one knows about or is aware of. So it could go a lot of ways. You see, that's part of my confusion too. Like. His character is just so different, you know, from the rest in a lot of ways. And his timeline's different.
Right.
You know, so it throws things off at times with the timeline and even who he is as, like, you know, the stature of him. But then his experience is completely different.
Yeah. Because he's still trying to figure out who's I. Because he has the I still. Still trying to figure out who it belongs to.
That's right.
Goes to, what was the place called? Miratech. And the eye hasn't even been technically made yet.
Right.
Hasn't been made, hasn't been given to anyone. In comes Hazel and Cha-Cha because they end up taking some of Klaus's drugs and
mm-hmm. which is always the topic of everything, Klaus's drugs. His habit, you know.
And they end up burning down Meritech, essentially, which I really like that. Hazel and Cha-Cha are really fun to me. I really like
them. Oh, you like them?
I like them.
Okay.
Well, one, I love Mary J. Blige, so I'm like, her being in this, like, dope assassin is really fun.
It's different. And I like their ways when they go investigate or, you know, interrogate in a lot of ways. They use so many different ways. When we saw in episode 2, I believe, the guy that they hung, literally. Mm-hmm. And then in episode 3, they go to the donut shop, you know, and ask kind of for the sketch of the tattoo and stuff. And just so different approaches. And they can be very charming in a lot of ways and funny. So I get that point of view, too. Bad guys, but they're fun.
They're likable bad guys.
Yeah, they're likable.
Because they're not, I mean, technically they're bad guys, yes, but they're not they're not the big bad of this season. They're not, you know, they're not, whoever they're working for is clearly like the more.
Right. So they're just kind of the dirty work. They're doing the dirty work. The henchmen.
You always like the, they remind me of like, you know, the Emperor's New Groove, like Yzma has Kronk. Like, Kronk's not really a bad guy.
Okay, yeah.
He's just kind of, like, dopey and, like, funny. But he does bad things. That's what they remind me of.
Yeah. No, they have a kind of an endearing quality through their humor and especially Hazel, you know, the way he kind of – but that Cha-Cha works with – they work together very well in that way because they're kind of a yin and yang to each other. And she's kind of the more – I get stern one and kind of get the job done. And he's the one that's getting the info and stuff all the time. I like their dynamic, actually.
Yeah. I'm very interested because obviously they're kind of derailing as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
Five's, you know, stop the apocalypse plan. So I'm interested to see how they – because I'm not sold –
what their purposes are going forward.
Yeah, because I'm not 100% sold that they – that they want to see the world burn, you know?
Right.
They don't give me that vibe.
Yeah, they're not the evil doom. They're not like Thanos or something, you know?
Exactly.
Or, yeah.
So I'm very interested. Last but not least, let's talk about Leonard a little bit before we head out of here because I am sus. I don't trust Leonard. I don't. There's something about him I just don't. I don't like.
What don't you like?
He's creeped me out since the first episode. Was it the first episode? Yeah, since the first episode that we met him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he has ulterior motives.
I get that vibe too at times. And he picks his spots when he comes around, right?
Yeah.
It's very kind of strategic. You see him at certain points where someone's dealing with something. He just kind of like arrives and there's something suspicious because if he was completely good in a sense, he'd be kind of in the mix, right? And not pick his spots. I could see that, but he's not. But the way the show's going so far, you're not supposed to think that. You know, like he hasn't done anything to tip you off, right? He hasn't done any single act or thing that has really tipped you off to the point where you wouldn't trust him.
Well, in episode four, Allison catches him in Vanya's apartment with a bouquet of flowers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just leaving some flowers because she left her keys at his house.
Maybe he's really nice.
I'm just saying, boys, please don't. If I leave my keys at your house, please don't break into my house and leave flowers.
Probably a good idea not to do that.
That's so creepy. Like,
no, that would be, yeah. It's like, oh, hey, by the way, I came in without your notice.
And I'm glad Allison is, you know, sus of him because that's weird. And also, I just felt like his little sob story to her when he first starts doing violin lessons with her was weirdly too close to their story about, like, kind of an abusive father. It just felt very, like, I'm trying to, you know, relate to you so you trust me.
Right, trying to earn the trust. And, by telling a story or trying to relate to you in that way, where that's how you relate to people. If you want to get someone's trust, really, in a lot of ways, it's like find something that you both have in common, you know, and that's relatable, that you can trust someone and like share the experience kind of together.
Yeah, there's just something very
awesome. That manipulative aspect. Yeah, that's a good point.
And Allison's sus of him, and you gotta listen, if you have sisters, trust your sisters because sisters peep things.
Mm-hmm.
My sister is always right about people. I always trust her opinion on people. Sisters have a third eye, right?
You just don't doubt that. It's one of these things where
have a third eye.
There you go. Yeah, I think that's a good point that you have. The sister thing, and it's mostly boys in this family, right? Besides them two. So I think that's an important relationship going forward. And I'm actually, you know, right now what had me confused and all that, it was the individual storyline. So I'm actually hoping we see more of them coming together. And I think I've started seeing that through the end of 3 and episode 4, that they're starting to at least band together, even picking sides, but at least they're joining up together. Not everyone's on their own.
Yeah.
In that way, I think it's going to help. Because this show has been slow, and to me at least, at least the buildup of it. And you have 10 episodes, so you know I expect a kind of more fast pace. Like, hey, we know we have 10, let's get into this. And it's just been a slow, slow build. Now, it might work for some people, might actually enjoy that because you're kind of getting the individual side and you have multiple characters that we're dealing with here. But personally, I would just like it to speed up, and hopefully we get more of this going forward.
I will say it definitely speeds up. Okay. I think for a show of that has this, like, you know, possibility to really become something, I think it's great that they were slow and kind of established people first, because I feel like after episode 4, you now have a good understanding of everyone, and now we can really...
We're halfway through a season then.
Yeah.
You know?
But now we can really... Because obviously it already got confirmed for season 2. Mm-hmm. So now we can really dive into the story for the remainder of the season, and then... We don't have to do this next season, you know?
True. You don't have to establish it from the start and try to – because I came in blindly to this.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't read the graphic novel or anything like that. So I just tried to take what they give me.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, for me, the slow build was just like, well, where they're coming from. And I think the 5 storyline threw me off in a lot of ways because it's so, you know, different than everyone else. But the core of it is dad. You know, that's all where it boils down to. Like, really – I think through 4 episodes, it's still the mystery behind his death and them coming together and who done it. And, like, you see how they were treated. Like, I think the interesting aspect for me is that the way they were kind of – their upbringing's coming out a lot more. You know, like, they're going into the past and kind of remembering how they were treated. And still all these lingering issues that we see are through their childhood.
Yeah.
So I think that's really telling in that way. And it ties into dad, you know. And is he really good dad or – did he, like, create them almost as, like, projects and kind of, like, mutants, his personal, like, soldiers in a way, you know? Which one is it? Or is he, like, with the intention of, you know, doing good for the world, having them be these superheroes in a sense, you know? So that's still – to be – that's very open-ended in that way.
Like, for sure.
Dad bad or good?
Dad bad or good. Before we hop into predictions, was there any particular – moment that stuck out in episodes 3 and 4 that, like, was really, you know, kind of kick-ass for
Yes,
you.
It was. Actually, a lot of – I was picking – looking for moments. I love every time they have, like, a fight scene or shootout scene, the music is on point.
The soundtrack is amazing.
Yes. I liked – I think it was maybe 2 or 3. I'm almost sorry. The Bohemian Rhapsody one has been the highlight of the season with 5.
Yeah.
And they're trying to shoot him with the men with the masks. And the Bohemian Rhapsody works so well. With this, with a moment, it was so almost calm and erratic, but peaceful at the same time.
Yeah.
It was just the coolest thing. I think their use of, like, pop culture and the music that's, like, in right now with, like, the big action scenes is really cool.
Yeah. I was definitely going to say when Hazel and Cha-Cha invade the academy and it's Allison, Luther, and Diego and 5 who are fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Was 5 in it? No, 5 was in my.
I don't think 5 was.
So Allison and Klaus. Klaus was there.
Klaus, okay.
And then technically Vanya, but she kind of gets, like, out of the way pretty
quick. Vanya's just kind of, roaming.
I really like that fight just because I like seeing them all spring into action, you know?
Yeah, we haven't seen enough of that individual power and action. There's been a lot of talk, but you only get spurts of action. It's like when you get the music clips, that's when the action's happening. But yeah, I like to see going forward more of their individual powers and strengths and more of the action. Because they give you, like, maybe it's a good thing because some shows just, like, throw in action constantly. And this one's so slow-paced that you might have, like, one action sequence in an entire episode.
Yeah. I like that we're getting substance, and then we're sometimes getting fight scenes, but I like that there's a lot more substance than fighting.
So you do like the kind of slower pace, chatter and talk and the connection.
Because I will say, since I watched the whole season, you need all these moments to get to
where
the end
going.
Of it. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair to see. I'm hoping it moves up. I mean, I like a little bit more of action going forward. Definitely. now that I'm trying to piece these storylines together, and it's hitting me slow. In a way, it's a pretty complex. Like, it's a – the whole, I guess, the story of the show, it's somewhat basic. But then the complexities in the individual characters would almost make me confusing. And the pacing that they projected is what kind of lost me in a lot of ways.
I'm looking forward to talking about it next week once you've watched 5 and 6
we'll see
where your mentality is. But before we go, let's do predictions.
Okay.
Ooh. And now, you're after Buzz TV.
I will throw it to you first. Okay.
Here's a wild prediction. Now, that might not even be the next couple of weeks. I think by the end of the season, Dad is not dead. He is alive and well and kind of hiding out, and you will see that later on.
I like that. I like that. My prediction is – it's not so much a prediction. It's more of what I want. I want to see what happened to Ben. I want to know how Ben died.
That's right. We don't. I feel like we don't get that much of that.
It's kind of like a hush-hush thing. I want to know what happened to Ben.
That's right. Good point.
Because I love Ben. He's my favorite.
Really?
Yes.
So the one we didn't talk about, the least
we mentioned. Well, he didn't have too much going on in these two episodes, but I like Ben. And I like that he's just so lightly in there because it makes you want to know what's going on.
That's true. There's a lot of mystery surrounding him. And the less you know, the more, the payoff could be worthy of it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting point. I like that.
All right. Well, until next time. Next week, we will have everybody here. Well,
let's hope so.
We will have the full academy here, if you will. But where can they find you?
They can find me at TheJimAlexander on all social media and RealTalker.com.
And I'm your girl, Drew Jones. You can find me on all the things at OKDrewJ. And until next time, we will see you all next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.